Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Don't let an outdated garage door define your home. Revamp your home's appearance with a new Ideal Garage Door. Choose from our large in-stock selection or design your own using our free Garage Door Designer. Save big and Ideal Garage Doors. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Promise 2. Our self-esteem will increase as we give ourselves approval on a daily basis. The promise of self-esteem is very attractive, especially given that if we didn't have a negative self-perception, many of us would have no self-image at all. Oof. By showing up regularly at ACA meetings, we increase our true self-esteem in a positive way. We find a safe space to interact with others who are on the same quest. This act of showing up for our true selves gives us a positive view of ourselves, most likely for the first time. By participating in the meetings and identifying ourselves as adult children, we are sending a signal to our inner child that we are aware of the work we have to do, and we are willing to make a commitment to realize our spiritual awakening. More true self-esteem will come from regularly affirming our current state and our future mission. By showing up and participating, we give our true self approval. Approval to get well, to belong, to share, to believe, to hope, to care, to cry, to laugh, to grieve, to live. These simple expressions of our humanity are true self-esteem of the most precious and rewarding kind. On this day, I will practice doing the things that build true self-esteem and give my true self the approval to trust, feel, and talk. Ooh, that's a good one, folks. I feel like I've read all of these, but I don't remember this one. Well, first of all, let me just say that I love that line of, by showing up and participating, we give our true self approval. Approval to get well, to belong, to share, to believe, to hope, to care, to cry, to laugh, to grieve, to live. And I really feel like this community is such a beautiful example of all of those things and really gives us the opportunity to do that. I especially love the approval to get well. I was thinking about the line from that I always mention, one of my favorite quotes from Peter Yelton that says, you know, abandonment is a profound enough wound to siphon off all self-esteem from within. And just about how, you know, as soon as I would get into a relationship, this self-esteem that I felt like I had would just go to the shitter. And I would go from self-esteem to what Pia Melody talks about when we've been reading Facing Codependence, this other esteem. And how just the connection between self-esteem and safety. And how truly what that was about was, how can you feel good about yourself when all of a sudden it feels like your fucking life is on the line? You know, like as soon as that abandonment wound gets triggered and I'm back in that space, it literally becomes a life or death situation for my nervous system. And so how does one possibly think about, like, how you feel about yourself doesn't matter, you know? And so much of that is because these wounds are getting embedded in our nervous system before we have the chance to ingrain that self-esteem, that self-worth. And instead, actually, like, as this abandonment is getting implanted within our nervous system, so is all of these other faulty beliefs that we hold about ourselves, right? Like that we're not good enough, that we're not lovable enough. And just really thinking about how the level of, I shared some on Thursday, just really trying to make an effort to recognize the ways in which I've been healing and like the evidence of that, especially over the past couple weeks, the past month. And it is like huge. I'm so proud of myself. And what that says at the very end, by doing this work, you know, we're sending a signal to our inner child that we are aware of the work and, you know, and doing the things to build that true self-esteem. And so making an effort like throughout the day when I'm noticing things to check in with myself and let all of my parts know that I'm so proud of them, you know, and like, look at all this other stuff that we're doing. Look at all this progress that we're making, you know, but at the same time, I'm also balancing that out with compassion in that, you know, there's still some things that are like on my big kind of to-do list that I do feel unsafe when I think about them. And just reminding myself that, you know, that's okay. That's okay for right now. Like, I had something come up today where I thought about something that I need to do and it feels really scary, and just like really stopping myself and like, it's okay that that feels scary right now. It's okay that that feels unsafe right now. And it doesn't mean that it's, you know, always going to. The last thing I just wanted to point out was I was thinking about how in AA, one of the things that they say is, you know, we build self-esteem by doing esteemable actions. And the problem with that is that other self-esteem that Pia Melody talks about, that like when a lot of the times, like when we're saying that in AA meetings, what people mean is like doing service work, right? Like showing up for your commitments and all of those things are great and all. But the problem is for folks like us, a lot of the times that building that by like that doing those esteemable actions, really, we view those things as by this other esteem, that like the things that are that make me esteemable are like the ways in which I show up for other people or take care of other people. And so again, I was doing all these things. I'm doing all these things. I'm working my program. You know, I'm sponsoring people. I'm doing service work. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But like when it came down to it, again, as soon as I got into a relationship, that self-esteem was just completely siphoned off from within. And that is because, again, doing esteemable actions doesn't heal my nervous system, right? So those are just some of my thoughts for today. And the meeting is open.
Hello, everybody. This reading hit at a good time. I was debating on whether or not I wanted to talk about the last few days, which tells me I need to talk about it. So I joined the meeting on Tuesday and was talking about how I like found my own like judgmental self coming out for like other people's beliefs about things and how they view things. And I sat with that a lot over the next day or so. And then I wake up Wednesday. I've told this a million times, I'm in my notice period for my job. There's a lot of things going really well right now. And starting about lunchtime, I got this like crazy, ridiculous craving to smoke weed. And it's something I haven't done in like a year and a half. I gave it up because I just got tired of it and it was giving me anxiety and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, huh, is this some sort of like self-sabotage? Like, what's going on? And so I kind of sat with it for a while and I was like, you know, we'll see what happens. And so I flipped a coin. The coin said go. I was checking my phone. My YNAB app said 420 notifications. I was like, this is the universe saying, go ahead and do it. So I did it. I went and bought like a little disposable vape and just chose to try and enjoy my evening. But it was like malfunctioning. I think it came without too much of a charge. And ended up getting way too high really fast and started panicking. And I called my mom like I usually do when I'm going into a panic attack that I can't stop, and just had this ridiculously like huge emotional release. I've been working with anger lately and I was frustrated about the fact that I couldn't just enjoy something that used to be fun for me. And it like talking to her and going through that experience and looking at myself and being like, okay, like the first time this happened, what were you doing? What was going on? And like, how has that behavior changed? First time I had a panic attack, I sat and waited on an ambulance by myself, just staring out the window, not calling anyone. Like, it was sad. And I don't know, I just had this experience of getting this really very uncomfortable surge of pride in myself and my life, where I'm at, a level of joy I've not experienced, but also it was like accompanied with sheer terror. And it's like this very uncomfortable feeling of I can recognize this is an emotion I don't experience very often and so intensely. And I think that having kind of that compassion for the way I view the world and like the way that I view like addiction issues and things needed to come up. And even though I'm working through food stuff right now, and I think that I hold a lot of like resentment towards myself because of that, but like feeling that immense swelling of like crazy, weird, good emotions shifted my perspective in some ways. And I feel like I'm meeting a part of myself, the last couple of days that has not been here yet. And it's this very authentic view of, oh, this is who you are as a person, both from a successful side, but also like, you got an addict living in you, and that's something that needs to be paid attention to. And so sure enough, for the last 3 days, I've been eating candy and all the things I had given up like over a month ago and was doing really well with. And I think that it's given me the lens of just how serious everything has been. Like, I think I've glossed over how bad my childhood was to some degree, like at some level. And having this experience, like recycling an old behavior that no longer suits me and seeing it from a different perspective, allowed like another level of that pain to surface, but also another level of that like joy and pride and self to surface. And it like left me emotionally exhausted. And like I do when I'm emotionally tired, I'm eating like crazy. So having some compassion and patience with myself that I can tell, tying it back around to self-esteem, is because I've done a lot of that work and I'm not holding on to like the shame of I should be doing better with this, or I should be better doing better with that. It makes sense based on how my life has gone to probably try and dampen down some good moments to keep them manageable. And I think that in this moment where I'm in a type of self-sabotaging behavior, I'm coming with more compassion this time, which is lessening it very fast. I've gotten rid of the inciting materials already and just getting things turned around without all of the need to beat myself up for it and to feel shame about sharing about it. Cause I think that was kind of another thing that was happening, is I was afraid to talk about it cause it felt like a failure. But it really, I think in this sense, it's not a failure. It's very much, I love the term recycling of behavior, because it is just kind of a thing that happens, is when you try and get away from something, you kind of have to go back and experience it at different levels to understand the depths of it. And it feels good, I guess, to not be in a moment where I'm like, oh, I'm doing so great. But just to like have that moment of, okay, we're here again. What is it like this time? And to see it kind of improving in a way that's built off of kind of all the work I've done here and in my life, it's been really nice. So with that, I will stop and pass it off. But thank you all for letting me share and for being here.
This is a great promise. And I'm actually starting to believe that it's coming true. I mean, it actually is starting to come true. Some days are better than others. But this idea of self-esteem, I think I've had low self-esteem all of my life. I've had times of feeling confidence, but confidence and self-esteem are different. I can feel confident at times and still have low self-esteem. What I've been learning in my trauma recovery course is about this. There's a psychological and a biological impact of trauma on us as adults. And it's very interesting because there's this origin of belief that, you know, whatever trauma happened, you know, that was the origin of a negative belief about ourselves that we develop. So I was remembering that interview you did. I don't know who it was with, Andrea, but he said, I just loved, he was talking about the crime scene investigation. You have to do the crime scene investigation. You know, you have to go back and remember the trauma to work through, you know, the effect that it's had. And this is also timely because I met with my coach on Friday and she was really pushing me. Because I had this topic that I wanted to discuss and I had three things I wanted to go over. And I told her that from the beginning. And of course, I wanted to talk about the easier things first. And she said, let's go to the hard thing. And I didn't want to go there. I wanted to go there and didn't want to at the same time. But anyway, we got to this place where my homework is. So we're working on negative false beliefs. And the two that we came up with was, number one, I need to know everything, take care of everything, or I'm a failure. This all or nothing, black and white thinking. That's one big belief that I've had. And the second was, when I'm learning something new, I'm supposed to get it right away and I can't make mistakes. I'm supposed to understand it, get it right away, the first time I hear it, read it, whatever. So my homework is to really work on those, to look at where the origin of that belief comes from. So I got to sit with that later today and do some writing and journaling. But yeah, this is, it's crazy, isn't it? How these the synchronicities happen and things come up coincidentally or not so coincidentally. Anyway, I think that's all I wanted to share. Thanks for hearing me.
Okay, shit show dudes, you can tune out. This is for my fellow shit show ladies. Are you going through perimenopause or menopause? I'm not quite there yet, but I know that I have plenty to look forward to. Feeling like a wet sock driving down the highway, night sweats, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, bloating, gas, man, can't wait for this shit. Now, if that is applicable to you, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 fucking seconds, okay? Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. Now, for my younger shit show women like myself, if you struggle from that vicious week before your period, you want to crawl out of your skin, experience cravings, want to eat everything in the damn house, you feel a little bit down or off, well, Happy Mammoth also has a product for you to make it easier to manage your PMS with their Estro Control. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code adultchild for 15% off today.
So I think the topics here about the true self and approval and giving yourself approval is really sort of super prescient as I've been working through some things lately. And so much of, you know, getting out of the horrible situation that I had growing up was getting to a stage of finding safety and security, you know, economic, physical safety, things like that. But I've been really struggling with this from the perspective of you sort of become a one-dimensional being where you're really good at one thing, but you're not really good at anything else. And I think as I've looked through this, I've sort of, you know, put some things of belonging, grieving, and living sort of in a box, wrapped it with a bunch of tape, put it in a block of ice, put it in the freezer, and sort of put it away for a really long time. And, you know, now that it's time to defrost the freezer, you realize, hey, these are important things to sort of getting to an actualized life. And the thing I've had to struggle with is the coping mechanism of avoiding judgment from others because of the things that I had in my childhood and what I grew up with. I'm so far past that now that, and nobody even knows what I grew up with. So why am I still so afraid of judgment of other people now, even though that doesn't matter at all in the current situation? So this is all in the, you know, we're all works in progress. And I think this is certainly a great reading and a great reminder of what's going on. And I'm just happy to have the space here and to share and learn and grow with everyone that's here. So thanks for giving me a few minutes.
So I related to so much that everyone else was sharing. I was, when you were talking, Andrea, about in the rooms of AA, you know, if you want to have self-esteem, do esteemable things. I've heard that over and over again as well. And, you know, what I realized for me is I spent my entire life thinking that everybody else was more important than me. So part of doing the esteemable things, and I think about, you know, service for other people, I don't have to always put other people first. I can put myself first. And when I put myself first, at least, you know, it doesn't have to be all about me. And I understand there are times when I have to consider other people. I can't, you know, I don't want to be self-centered. But, you know, if there's a choice between doing something that's right for me and doing something that's right for someone else, I'm going to, or I'm learning to do what's right for me. And I think that's a big part of my building some self-esteem. Obviously, being part of this community, and for the first time in I don't know how many years, because I've spent almost 12 years in the rooms of AA and NA and have never, and I'm not saying this is their fault, but I have never felt as comfortable being vulnerable and showing my true self like I do in here. And by being able to show my true self in here, I have learned that there are safe spaces, that I can be loved and I can be accepted for who I am. There's nothing I'm going to say that is going to turn into a disaster. And I'm learning to be more honest with myself. If I feel safe thinking it, And if I feel safe saying it and putting it out there in the universe, then I feel more willing. I have more willingness to be honest in every area of my life. And I've been really working hard on boundaries, setting boundaries, not being afraid to say how I really feel about something, not being afraid of who I am and what I need from people in my life to feel safe and to feel loved and to feel honored, because that's a two-way street. And, you know, I want to give and I want to receive as well. And I want, there's nothing wrong with, you know, there's nothing bad or too much or too needy about wanting or needing certain things from people who love me and who I love. So that is proof for me that I am building self-esteem, because in the past, I would be afraid to be honest. I would be afraid of the repercussions. Maybe something would happen that I didn't want to happen. Maybe I'm asking for too much. Maybe this is ridiculous and I'm overreacting. Like all the things that we tell ourselves when our true self knows that we're not being true to ourselves. It's really helping me. And again, you know, I can't say it enough. I haven't been doing a lot of my other meetings. I've gone to some more AA meetings because they're closer to me and the time's working with my other schedule with work and these meetings. But I have to say that most of my recovery comes from in here right now. I have absolutely no desire whatsoever to pick up a drink or anything else. I know that my, you know, the fellowship that I started in is, you know, saved my life. And I know how important it is to never think that a solution is drinking. But I have to say that I gained so much more from coming here. And part of me being true to myself and acknowledging and having self-esteem is not being afraid to say that. You know, not being afraid to say, I'm just not getting what I used to get out of that. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that, you know, it's not all black and white. It doesn't mean I don't like it or I hate it or I don't like you. It just means I'm not getting what I need out of it. And I need to be okay. Yeah, so for me, that is something that is tangible, that I notice, that I feel, and that I'm living, that has been so helpful to me as far as self-esteem go. So thank you.
I don't know, what can I do about my esteem, you know, like my regard for myself when I'm some bigger part of me and my body is trying to find a sense of security and sense of safety, right? It's like you've got to, you know, get to a place where you can hold on to something and breathe for a while before you can, you know, think like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like before you can think of the next level, you've got to get those basics met first. And until you do, you know, you can't go on. And I think that's kind of where we are, or at least where I am. So it is far back as maybe my 20s, I have had this abnormal preoccupation with true crime, all things true crime, but not just true crime, like of the serial killer nature. And, you know, not just the serial killer nature, you know, of the sexually sadistic type of serial killer. Like I just have to go to the bowels of hell, right? I have to go there. And I guess this was my attempt to, you know, some part of me said, you know, if I can intellectually understand the scariest of the scaries, then what is there for me to, what is there for me to be afraid of anymore, right? And then I no longer have to be afraid of whatever I was afraid of as a child, if I can understand the scariest of the scaries. And obviously it didn't work. But yeah, I've spent a lot of time reading about, you know, really dark things. And I also don't sleep well. I don't sleep well. So I'm always really tired because I don't sleep through the night. I wake up a lot. But last week, I was up in the middle of the night. For whatever reason, it felt like I was turning inside out. And I thought about my inner child. And something came to me. And it was my inner child probably is the way she's trying to tell me she doesn't like all these scary stories that I'm constantly reading is by keeping me up. It's like it's keeping her up at night. So I can't sleep, right? She can't sleep, so she won't let me sleep. And I thought, okay, all right, that makes sense. So I cleared out, you know, my library of serial killer things, and I'm going to donate all these books. If anybody wants any, you know, light reading, let me know. I'll send you a book because I've got tons of them. And I've got to find some light reading. You know, I've got to read about puppies and kittens, I guess. So I guess I'm on a new journey, right? To read about things that I always thought were just like, you know, ribbons and bows, puppies and kittens. How is that going to help me, right? How is it going to help me feel safe, right? I need to know what the danger is, right? But I think right now I'm an adult who can say, maybe that's what a little girl needed, but, or some part of my ego needed, but I have this little girl who needs to just be a little girl. So I'm going to, you know, break this habit. You know, this habit's not really a habit. It's just preoccupation. And stop reading about these awful, horrendous things and make her a priority and read about things that I often in the past just Yeah, that's progress for me. So thanks for listening.
I just got to let that sink in for a minute. Oh my gosh, Lisa, that's beautiful. Everybody shares, you know, and a couple of people were talking about how great this space is. It really is. I feel like everything everybody says, no matter what it is, just always has such a profound impact on me. Oh, promises. I think I mentioned this in another meeting recently. Like, I feel like when I really started showing up here consistently and around the same time as when I started going to like local ACA meetings consistently, I my life felt like it was a wreck. I was a wreck. My life was a shit show. And I was holding on to these promises pretty tightly. You know, I had heard so many people say that they had seen them come to fruition in their lives and heard their stories. You know, like I have a really hard time believing in myself and hearing people tell their stories about what life was like before recovery. It made me believe that just maybe these promises could come true for me. And with this one in particular, the self-esteem, I think having little to no self-esteem kept me safe for a really long time. You know, like it kept me small. It kept me quiet, which was what I needed to survive in my house as a kid. You know, so that was really important. And then, you know, when I grew up and left that house, I didn't, you know, nothing changed. Like within me, you know, I still had that really low self-esteem and, you know, that really strong inner critical parent who's main job is to keep me at that level of having no self-esteem and not believing in myself. And I've really seen that changing lately, but it's still, I also see where it gets in the way of me seeing my growth and my progress sometimes. And what came up for me today in thinking about it was just being, when I went to therapy the other day, I went to go see my therapist and like I see her on Thursdays, and on Wednesday nights, I go to an ACA step study group, and we're going through the yellow book. And like this past week in particular, like we had a really, really great meeting. Like we had finished step two, and then we decided to do an art project, and we had like kind of two things we were picking from because we're also doing the Loving Parent Guidebook. So we did this art project where some of us were like drawing our higher power and what, you know, what that kind of looks like for us. And then some people were drawing or creating like a visual of the inner family, you know, the inner child, inner loving parent, inner critic and all that. And it was so great. Like we had, you know, paints and pens and glitter and stickers and markers, and it was so much fun. And I felt my inner child was allowed to just let loose and play and have fun on such a different level than when I do stuff like that by myself. And I guess like looking at my inner child as a child, you know, it's kind of the same thing. Like a child can play on their own, but if you look at a child playing on their own versus playing in a group of their peers, you know, I just feel like there's such like a greater level of fun and freedom and expression that comes out when you have those people there to support you. And it was so great. And one of the recurring themes in my life is that it's not safe to feel great. It's not safe to have fun. Those things don't feel safe.
And so as great as it was, I had this almost like a relapse afterwards, you know, or like a backlash. That's what it is. It's like I get backlash from my inner critic. Like I went and had this amazing time. And then that night, like I had a really hard time going to sleep. I could not get myself to sleep. And then because of that, and because I'm trying to take care of myself, I slept in the next morning, you know, to try to recover and balance that out, because I'm very lucky. I have the ability to do that. You know, I don't have a job that I have to get up and be there at a specific time. I get to decide that. And so I felt like I was taking care of myself, but then I also felt like shit, like my inner critic was beating the shit out of me. And I just think, you know, trying to knock down that self-esteem from a loving place, like I know that she's trying to keep me safe, you know, and in that misguided, fucked up way, it is trying to keep me safe. But my therapist pointed out to me, you know, that it's very normal and it seems very appropriate given my situation and my childhood and the history there. It makes sense to have that backlash after something that feels so great, after that connection with really good, loving people. She said it makes perfect sense. And then in that morning before I went, the weather was just shitty. You know, it was a gray day and it was cold and rainy. And I ended up just like staying in bed until the last minute. And then I got up and I was like crying in the shower. And I guess it's just like, she was able like that day to give me that approval that I needed to help me see the progress. You know, the fact that I was able to recognize that all of this was happening was huge, you know, and give me that approval of, like, hey, you felt the feelings. If you were in the shower and you were crying in the shower, that's progress. That's good, even if it doesn't feel good. And then I always feel like I need to be able to do all these things on my own. And that, Lisa, you were just saying it's okay to have needs and wants and to need other people or to want other people. And that's kind of a line that I'm trying to figure out right now, you know, trying to break free of being codependent. I feel like I shouldn't need to have any of this from anybody, but, you know, if there's safe people and I'm not losing myself, like, it's okay. You know, it's okay that I need her to be able to point this out to me. It's okay if it doesn't feel safe for me to have a panic attack in my own home and I need to go to a friend's house to be able to ride that out. So I think these promises are great. I would love to do like a series, you know, have a meeting on every single one of them. I think that would be so much fun, because I really am seeing as I do the work, that they are starting to come true. Oh, so thank you guys. You're such a big part of that. And this place, this space is too.
You know, on doing things for other people and all of that stuff. So when I first got in recovery, I had a boyfriend who's still my very, very good friend. And he told me that his goal, he's a very, very wise person, that his goal was to not, he said, I try not to let my insecurities infringe on the personal freedoms of others. I was like, what's that even mean? You know? And it took me a long time to realize that he had a lot of insecurities, but it took me a long time to figure out what he was talking about, you know? And so I always try to kind of live by those standards and try to think, is what am I asking from other people because I'm having insecurity, or I want to be respected, or I want to be liked, or I want to be included, or, you know, kind of whatever my thing is, you know? And I've been having a real struggle with one of my sons, my younger son. Is we've always been super close, and we, you know, he's the kid who would go, I need a mom Sunday, you know, we could need to go eat Indian food. And my other son is the type that would go, you know, why don't we go to dinner? And I'd be, oh, great, you want to do something with me? And he'd get a phone call and say, you know, can we get the food to go? You know, because I want to go do something else. But my other son's always been like, really, we've always been really close. And he is in the Coast Guard, but lately my son has been super distant. I haven't heard from him. I had my grandson for a few weeks this summer, and then I heard from him for a couple of weeks after that. And then after that, it's, mom, we've got stuff going on. We have closed our circle to just me, my wife, and my kid. and you can't come for, you can't, my grandson's birthday's next weekend. I usually fly up to Oregon. Yeah, unfortunately, we're you know, planning on, you know, they're moving because they get, you know, moved every, you know, 4 or 5 years. Anyways, I've been like super concerned because he does all of this work with people who commit suicide in the service, in the armed services. And he rode a motorcycle up to the Arctic Circle to raise awareness for that. And, you know, he's not talking to anybody. And I'm thinking, well, maybe he's just stressed out because he has to move and doesn't know where they're going to, you know, send him and stuff. So like in the last week, it was his birthday this week, in the last, and I've wanted to rip his head off. I mean, I'm like, you know, you're making me scared. Why don't you talk to me? Why won't you include me in, you know, even what you're upset about, blah, 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 blah. I cannot say anything because if I say anything, you know, and a lot of it was struggling with my insecurities of thinking, you know, is he mad I didn't take care of his kid enough? Is he this? Is he that? You know, what's going on? Then in the last few weeks, just being really concerned, oh my God, if I didn't get in his face and he did kill himself and I just was too afraid to say anything, you know, but the whole time I kept going, I got to give him his space to work through his stuff and do it in his own way. And when he wants to resurface, he'll resurface. And he's the weirdest kid. He resurfaces and he talks to me for like 3 hours on the phone, like we talked yesterday. And I did not hear from this kid for 6 months. And it kind of drives me crazy because I just wish that, you know, it was just a little more consistent or whatever. But that's the way he is. He's super present. He doesn't know what day it is. He doesn't know what time it is. He doesn't care. He has learning disabilities that prevent, you know, a lot of, I don't know how he would have been a functioning adult without a cell phone that has alarms on it, you know, because they didn't have those when he was a kid. And now everything's in his phone. It's all an alarm to prompt him. But, you know, that's just kind of where I'm at with all this stuff now. It's just kind of like, yeah, I wish a lot of people would be different. I wish my sister would be different. I wish my parents would be different. But, you know, I just got to let them be them and hang out, you know, with my tribe who love me and appreciate me and accept me for who I am. You know, I don't feel good. I snapped at one of my friends the other day. I had Super Bowl people over at my house and, you know, I was doing something and she tried to grab it out of my hand and I don't feel good. And I went, you know, I got this. And it was just like the people that are in my life that are hard on me snap at me all the time. And I don't snap back unless it's to back them off or, you know, teach them a lesson, you know, but I don't really snap at people very often. And I felt bad for snapping at her, but it kind of brought me back to the fact of how much shit I put up with so many people, you know, snapping at me and taking out all their, whatever they got on going on in their life on me, you know? And so, yeah, you know, I really have to sit and think about how, if I'm upset about something, it's just because insecurity or fear in me. And if me pushing it, is that going to infringe on somebody else's process and not letting them just deal, you know? Because at the end of the day, it's not all about me, right? So anyways, thanks a lot. It was great to see you guys today.
Yeah, I wasn't actually planning on talking today, but I wanted to say, like, I really appreciated what everyone shared. And I was actually going to talk about what Karen said as well about confidence and self-esteem. And because I always kind of felt like I had confidence. And it wasn't really until I started this trauma therapy that I realized like I had such shit self-worth. And I think that's kind of what has been like kicking my ass so much with it and how low I felt from where I was before I started. And so it's been hard. That's been like the hardest part of doing all of that for me, that is building back that self-esteem that up until recently I kind of assumed was there. And just, you know, that inner critic that I had was just how everybody talks to themselves. And so it's kind of just timely that this was the topic, and just glad to be here with everybody else.
I'm so glad that you're here too. Well, great meeting, guys. Thanks for being here. Love you all. See you soon.
Thanks, everyone. So good.
Hurry into Menards and save big money on your bathroom refresh. Max has a great selection of showers, tubs, and surrounds. Max's U-Tile shower kits combine luxury with practicality. They have a sleek design and make installation simple. Save big money on Max showers. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.